This is your tech news briefing for Monday, June 22nd. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. It's that time of year again. Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference starts today. Despite going virtual, it's an important moment for Apple and its relationship with developers. Our tech columnist Christopher Mims will join us for a deep dive after these headlines. Australia has been the target of a large-scale cyber attack by a state actor. That's according to Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison. Morrison said that the attacks have been increasing in frequency for several months now. He refused to name the country responsible, saying the bar for attribution is, quote, very high. Samsung released its Galaxy A71 on Friday. The A71 is now the cheapest 5G-enabled phone in the U.S., but you'll still have to shell out about $600 if you want to buy it, which you might not want to. Analysts say customers are skeptical of the value of these next-generation 5G networks, and with unemployment at a record high during the recession, smartphone sales have fallen across the board. And rather than reopening, Apple said it's reclosing nearly a dozen stores. The shutdowns are clustered in states where cases of COVID-19 have been climbing. That includes Florida, North and South Carolinas, and Arizona. Apple is one of the first retailers to close physical stores during the pandemic. And in stores that have opened up again, it's required customers to wear masks and get their temperature checked at the door. Speaking of Apple, its Worldwide Developers Conference starts today. We'll tell you what you need to know after the break. Today kicks off WWDC, that's Apple's annual Worldwide Developers Conference. Normally, it's a huge, flashy show with thousands of people. This year, like so many things, it's gone virtual. But WWDC is still a vital part of Apple's strategy. So we thought we'd take the opportunity to take a look back at where Apple's been and where it's going. Our tech columnist Christopher Mims joins us to guide us. Chris, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So Apple first introduced itself to us as the Mac company and then the iPhone company. Remind us where Apple has been shifting its focus in the last few years and what's driving that shift.
So Apple is definitely still the iPhone company, and it's still a huge driver of their revenue and their profits. But what they have been trumpeting are their shift to what they call services revenue, you know, sales commissions from apps and subscriptions on the App Store, subscriptions to Apple Music and now Apple TV. And they also get $9 or $10 billion a year from Google in what are called traffic acquisition costs, which means Google is paying Apple to be the default search engine on the Safari web browser. And last quarter, that services revenue was approaching $14 billion, which is like a quarter of all of Apple's revenue for that quarter, which is pretty amazing because that's maybe four times what it was 4 years ago. And Apple is also trumpeting the fact that it's selling more and more accessories. So AirPods, the Apple Watch is huge. They like to say that it's a Fortune 140 company on its own, which would put it at more than $22.5 billion a year in revenue. So that's as big as Southwest Airlines pre-COVID, just for that watch. So Apple has managed to diversify its revenue away from just iPhone. And of course, the iPad has been slipping in terms of revenue, share of revenue for years. And a lot of that cannibalization is due to the fact that we have bigger phones. Who needs a tablet? And the Mac has just not budged. It's been 7% market share of global PCs for a decade. And so what was once the iPhone company is really becoming this experiences company that makes money from the software, services, subscriptions, accessories, and even things that are less apparent. Like, of course, they have a credit card now. So if you carry a balance on that credit card, Apple's getting a share of your interest split between Apple and Goldman Sachs on those groceries that you didn't pay off last month.
Let's talk about the WWDC. What are they expected to announce this year?
They might announce, or I should say will probably announce, a shift to a new type of chip that they're going to use in Macs, at least in their notebook computers. This has been in the works for many years. I searched our archives and I think I first wrote about it in 2016. It's not a huge deal for Intel because, you know, people still buy lots of PCs. The cloud uses more and more Intel chips every year. And again, you know, Apple's only 7% of the global market share for PCs in general, and an even smaller fraction of notebooks. It's a big deal for Apple for a couple of reasons. One is it could give their notebooks access to the huge library of iPadOS apps that already exist, which really are just slight modifications of iPhone apps. It could also mean that Apple saves, you know, on average $150 per notebook because it's not paying Intel for this CPU. It's using its own chip. Apple's unlikely to translate that into lower costs. It could. But Apple generally tries to go in the other direction and pack in more features. And so there are all kinds of things that our phones do that, you know, our notebook PCs don't. And could be really interesting to throw in, like, you know, what if every one of these notebooks had built-in connectivity to the cell phone network? So it was an always-on, always-connected device. Or what if they had more of the kind of positional and wireless sensors that have started to go into our phones so they can connect more, so they can know where they are better or connect to the Internet of Things, that kind of thing.
And this is a developers conference, after all. It's for developers. So what's it going to look like for them this year?
So a lot of what these developers conferences, it's almost like a bunch of deadheads to get together at a dead show, or like fish heads or whatever. You know, it's a good, it's a networking event. It's a little bit like, let's come together and celebrate our shared love for Apple. But it's also serious in that Apple is laying out its roadmap for these developers and saying, this is where we're going to go. And, you know, we're telling you in advance because we're dependent on you to create all this great software that keeps people coming back. Because arguably, I mean, yes, Apple hardware has some advantages and nice things about it, but at the end of the day, it has the biggest, the most stable library of apps and services. So they are still very dependent on these developers. And this is a fraught moment for them. I mean, what we're seeing is developers are getting really confrontational with Apple. The latest example was this company called Basecamp, which tried to launch an email app called Hey. And Apple, after a bunch of back and forth, just came back and said, we're never going to let you put this on our app store ever. Like, here are the conditions. And it's a little bit of a publicity stunt for Hey, but it certainly doesn't help that now they can't be on the iPhone. And what I have seen developers say is, yeah, we like the fact that I can make a living on this app store, but, you know, we're all starting to feel like this is a kind of a difficult and an abusive situation between us and Apple. And we would speak up more, except we're afraid of this company because they have total control over this platform. So I think it is a little bit of a pivotal moment in that for the first time ever, everyone, whether it's tech or any other area of life, is ready to speak up and be like, hey, this has got to change.
You know, you don't usually talk about one company having total control over the livelihood of someone else's product. Apple has been the center of a number of antitrust investigations. What's going on there?
So Apple has issues with the EU, as many American tech companies do. Now, three different tech companies that are substantial, Tile, Rakuten, and Spotify, have all filed complaints with the EU saying that Apple abuses its power over its own platform and is a monopolist there and charges too high a cut, a 30% cut in the case of the App Store, of every sale and subscription there. So the reason you can't buy a book from Amazon on your Kindle app on your iPhone or iPad is that Amazon doesn't want to give Apple 30% of that sale. It's also why you cannot subscribe to Spotify through your Spotify app on your phone. It's all these weird, annoying workarounds that we all have to deal with because nobody wants to pay the so-called Apple tax. And Spotify argues that that's unfair because, for instance, when you call an Uber through your phone, Uber's not paying Apple 30% of that. Apple's counter is anything that gets downloaded to your phone or goes through their systems, they provide customer support for it. They're providing the infrastructure, so they should be allowed to take that cut. It's really, I've had some fairly deep conversations with both sides on this, and it really is some kind of like horrible divorce where like nobody wants to talk or communicate, and they're just going to have to litigate it. It's two ships passing in the night. They both have very strong positions. They're very convinced that they're right, and they are very much not sympathetic to one another's position. That's a big issue for Apple, because if the EU ends up adjudicating this, the EU can charge They've really beefed up their fines. They can take 10% of Apple's revenue a year, presumably in the EU. There's also issues in the US. I mean, the Department of Justice is investigating Apple and other tech giants. And also in 2019, the US Supreme Court said that plaintiffs are allowed to sue Apple for their practices in their app store. And a bunch of them are, including folks who develop apps for Apple.
Our columnist, Chris Mims, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Before we go, tech companies have been announcing sweeping changes in response to the Black Lives Matter protests. We know a lot of our listeners work in tech, so we want to hear how those changes are impacting you, if at all. How has your company addressed protests? Have they implemented new diversity and inclusion policies? What changes do you still want to see? We put the number in the description. Call us and let us know. Tell us your stories. We may include them on the show. And that was your Tech News Briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.